Shrapnel. Hello and welcome to Film Shrapnel. This is your co-host Craig, and I'm joined by my best friend and co-host Tobias. How you doing, man?
Wagwan breadcrumb. I'm good.
Nice, nice. And today we are doing Dune 2, fresh out the cinema. We both went to watch it. We actually haven't spoken really about Dune ever, so I don't really know what Tobias thinks about it. I don't think I've ever really shared Tobias what I think about it. So, yeah, what's your initial impression, Tobias?
I've seen all the Dune films a long time ago. I've seen the 80s one. I remember very little of it besides the fact that it's got some quirky special effects and it's a David Lynch film. So it's got that sort of David Lynch vibe. But I do remember thinking this is my least favorite David Lynch film when I watched it. But I think we're going to talk about the David Lynch one, but I need to rewatch it. Excuse me.
I actually went to watch the 80s one as well because I was very curious. And I also don't think it's the best. I think it's probably the worst Lynch movie. It almost doesn't feel like a David Lynch movie in some ways. Like I think it's kind of the way the story unfolds feels very unlike how he would usually make a film. Like when it comes to special effects and stuff, oh, that's definitely a Lynch approach. But it got very weird, especially towards like the last hour. Yeah. Well, it's not shit. Like I still kind of enjoyed watching it. Because it was odd and it was quite campy.
It is campy, yeah.
Yeah, there's one shot specifically I keep thinking about. It's when Patrick Stewart is holding like a dog, and like the Harkonnens are attacking, and he's holding this dog and he's leading an army to go and fight the Heinekens, I keep calling them.
I don't know. This is my problem with Dune. I can't keep track of everything.
Your attention span's too short for it.
Well, it's just I feel like I need like a road map. I feel like I need a map in my hand to understand everyone and everyone's connection and stuff. And
you're asking for is a book.
Yeah, maybe I should just read the book. Because the book's meant to be incredible. The book's meant to be absolutely like mind-blowing, and you know they've wanted to make Dune movies for years, but the technology just hasn't been there yet. And I will say these new films, whether you like them or not, they look fucking amazing.
They are very well shot. Yeah. Like you can't deny that. They definitely are. And like also...
I was going to ask, real quick, who's the cinematographer for these new Dune movies?
I can find out.
Because he's great. Like, I think both of these movies look absolutely unreal. Way better than the David Lynch one.
It's a guy called Greg Fraser.
Has he done anything else?
Let's find out. He's Australian. He did Zero Dark Thirty.
What? Okay, yeah. That's a really good looking movie.
He also did Rogue One, which I really liked. He did Vice. I don't know if I've seen that one. Sounds familiar.
Vice is the one where, isn't it Christian Bale playing Dick Cheney?
I think I see something about Dick Cheney. Yeah, and Christian Bale. It probably is that one, yeah. He also did The Batman, the most recent Batman.
That movie looks absolutely unreal. I love it. Because you know what? I think the cinematography of The Batman really sells it.
Yeah, it's very good. It's really sleek. And he also did...
I think a different cinematographer, The Batman wouldn't have been as good.
Yeah, And he also did The Creator, which was an Oscar-nominated film this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, The Creator's really good too.
Yeah. So
Yeah, I
he's,
really like The Creator.
yeah, this guy is a solid cinematographer. I think he's, I'm not sure if he's just cinematographer or if he's a, I think he's just cinematographer that he is. But yeah, freaking excellent guy. He's got a lot of good films on his back at the minute. So yeah,
So
let's
worth,
talk about,
I think he's worth following, I think.
yeah, let's talk about Dune 2 then, since this is what we're supposed to be talking about. I'll say this, like, there were a few things in the first film that I didn't like, and this film kind of continued them a bit. But I will say though, I think Dune 2 is better than Dune 1. I think I liked it more. It felt more interesting. Because my biggest criticism of the first film is it, and I've said this to like so many people before, and I think a lot of people agree, it feels like it's just setting up sequels. It's just setting up a franchise. And that kind of annoys me because I would rather it be self-contained. I don't want a movie just to be like a long trailer for the next movie, you know?
Yeah, this is the thing. I think the first one, it's all set up for this one. And that's
Yeah.
why, because I didn't really love the Dune Part One, and I'm not really a huge fan of Timothée Chalamet. So the cast, I mean, I suppose I like Zendaya, although I don't think I like her much in these movies, if I'm honest.
I haven't really seen either of them in many things, and I don't mind them. I've got nothing against Timothée Chalamet.
Zendaya is the new Mary Jane in the Spider-Man movies, and Timothée Chalamet is the worst thing in his remake. Oh, sorry, his prequel to Willy Wonka.
I'm not going to touch that one. I'm not interested.
Oh, I won't lie. It's not a bad prequel slash reboot. It's not bad bad. It's just. There's moments that you might not like, and I just don't buy Timothée Chalamet as a young Gene Wilder.
Yeah, I can't even. I haven't watched the film, but I can't see that either. But
No.
yeah, I don't really mind him. You know, it's funny because I always think of him as like a kid, but he's actually 28 years old.
So yeah, he's not as young as I thought he was.
Yeah, but he's got that look. And I think the funny thing is, he's got this kind of like jawline that I find quite strange. It's like he's got a very long chin, and then like his jaw, like at the edges, just kind of sticks out in his like opposite directions. It's very like, there's this one actress in Stranger Things. She plays like one of the older teenage girls, and she has this also this kind of unusual jawline. And I don't know, like Hollywood seems to think it's attractive, but I find it kind of a bit odd when people have this very, I don't know, kind of morphed jawline. It's not a straight jaw, but Hollywood thinks it's attractive, and they keep putting people in leading roles like this. I don't know.
It's because he's all chiseled, but he's still like pretty.
Is he chiseled? You mean chiseled as in like his hench?
No, chiseled as in like he's bony.
I would always say chiseled is more like, you know, you've got some muscle on you.
Well,
But
not well, but your jaw though, a chiseled jaw is like a bony jaw, or a very sort of defined jaw at least.
yeah, he has a
So
look.
he's chiseled, but he's not rugged with
Yeah, that works.
it. This is such a weird review of Timothée Chalamet's face.
Yes, but it has to be
Like,
said.
Well, my problem with him isn't his face, although he is. I do think he's got an annoying face, but I think anyone who's less attractive than him will probably see him as a romantic threat. Ergo, they get salty. But that's not my issue. I just don't really like him as an actor. Like the few, I've seen him in Dune. I've seen him in Wonka. Now, obviously, he'd built himself up to a point where he ended up getting those two very high profile roles. So I haven't seen the Timothée Chalamet that's earned these two roles like over his previous career. I don't know what his career looks like. I've never seen him in anything else. I know that he's in something where he fucks a peach, American Pie style, but I don't know what it's called.
American Peach?
Maybe.
Yeah, I also haven't seen any of his earlier stuff. I know that he did work his way up from a lot of indie stuff, and then he kind of got into bigger things.
Like, I feel like I need to save my review of Timothée Chalamet for when I've actually watched a bunch of his other stuff. Because
Maybe we should.
Because the two I've seen, I don't like. But that is only two things. You know, I don't think that's not entirely fair. He does have an entire career I should probably have a look at before I really judge him. But for now, I don't really like him in anything I've seen. So when he gets all like bossy at the end of Dune 2 and he's like shouting at everyone and everyone shuts up and listens to him, I'm like, no, I wouldn't be on my knees listening to him. I don't buy him at all as this like leader. And you're really supposed to buy him as a leader in the second one. Because in the third one, he's going to go on to be like the king or something. For Dune 3, whatever it's going to be. But, you know, I just don't buy him in that position yet.
Yes, you touched on something there, like when you talk more towards the end, and it's a big theme throughout this film and the previous film that I kind of get annoyed with, is this white savior complex. Mm. You know, it's like this other guy from another planet comes in... and he's just suddenly the most amazing and he can do everything and everyone's like, thinks he's the best. And it's just, that grinds on me a lot. Like, I thought we were past this in Hollywood. I know it's quite crucial to the story here because it's like a messiah kind of complex thing that he's going through. But still, I just like, come on. So I watched Dune 1984 and I was reading about it on Wikipedia. And Frank Herbert liked it. Frank Herbert said that he followed the book quite well and he enjoyed it. But one of the things that he did say was that the film wasn't really, like, the book wasn't really about him, like, Paul becoming a messiah, becoming godlike. It was someone pretending to kind of be like that, to pretend that they had this ability. And I think Dune 2 kind of touches on it a bit because he doesn't really believe that the rumors, but he has to embrace them to kind of get power. So I don't know if they'll explore that more in the third one or not, because if they just make him all powerful, then I'm probably not going to like it, because I kind of get a bit annoyed. Like, he's just too great, you know. I mean, he can do everything. He's the son of a duke and all this kind of stuff. And it's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like he hasn't got enough weakness, a bit of depth, you know?
This is it. He's born to be the savior. He's born to be the one, you know. He's the Luke Skywalker. He's the Jesus. He's just this figure that is born for all this. He doesn't earn it.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm just thinking about other things that annoy me. By the way, I did like this film, but I'm just listing stuff that annoy me now.
Hang on. He does earn it, doesn't he? Because he puts his hand in a box and cries.
Yeah. He's tough.
I do have a confession to make, though, Craig.
Go on.
I did fall asleep when I watched Dune 2.
Really? You fell asleep? Yeah.
In the cinema.
Okay.
So I went out before I went to the cinema and I had a drink, right? Just one. Well, two, actually. Two. But I tried this new, like, sort of special brew beer thing called Le Chouf. Very, very nice. Very tasty.
Percentage was this beer, like...
I have absolutely no idea, but I had two, and then
magical beer that no one has ever heard of.
This magic beer called Le Chouf, And I only ordered it because it's the same name as the bad guy in Casino Royale. And I distinctly remember going, "Oh, Le Chouf, that's Mads Mikkelsen in Casino Royale. I'll try one of those." And it tasted like Mads Mikkelsen. It was really nice.
Like his
And
sweat.
yeah, it was fruity. I imagine he's a very fruity flavored man. Then I went home, got dressed, went to the cinema, and then I think I got. We went to the cinema. It was like a really cozy sofa as well that we were sitting on. It was like really cuddly and cozy.
The universe was conspiring against you to watch this movie, so you had to
Absolutely, of
sleep.
course.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was the beer, maybe it was the comfy seats, or maybe you just didn't find the film
Well,
interesting enough.
I just don't buy him. You know, in the same way that, like, I just really didn't buy Adam Driver as Kylo Ren. You know, it's the same. But Adam Driver, good actor. I've seen him in other stuff that I do really like him in, but I never bought him as Kylo Ren.
Yeah, he was a bit whiny in that movie, wasn't he? And it was hard to take serious. I was just thinking about character transformations as well, because I think they're implying that maybe he will change, and maybe he does change a bit towards the end. But there's two other characters that really change in this movie. One is the mother, Jessica, Lady Jessica, who becomes this like mother of the Fremen, and
Well,
she's
is that Shyamalan's mum?
yes. And she changes a
I
lot.
like her. I like her. She's good.
Yeah, she's good. But they really made her, now you get the sense that maybe she's a bad character. Like,
Well, isn't Timothée Chalamet's character a bad person in the book? I don't know
why?
much about the book, but I heard he's not actually a good guy in it. He's a
Well,
bad guy.
that would fit in with the idea that maybe he's like trying to play God, that. He's not supposed to be good. But in the 84 version by David Lynch, it seems like he is supposed to be a good guy. And at least in these two versions as well, it seems like you're supposed to kind of back him. You're supposed to see him as the protagonist. But maybe towards the end of this film, it's starting to suggest that maybe the power could be getting to him a bit. But maybe we'll see in the third. This is why I would like to see in the third one if they go down that road. A bit of like complexity, see how the power kind of corrupts him a bit. That'll be
Yeah, that'd
good.
be nice. Like
Yeah, because that.
a character we followed for two films as like this main protagonist becoming the central antagonist of the
Yeah,
world.
I would be up for that. That would be cool. But if they don't go that way, I think I'd be a bit disappointed actually, because it's
Yeah,
the same story.
that could be interesting. I know the director has said he wants to make one more.
Yeah, but by the way, that's not only what he's making. He's also going to make a TV series called Dune Prophecy, which is a prequel to the first one, and it's set 10,000 years before. And it's going to be like a TV show that focuses on the witches, the Bene Gesserit, or whatever they're called. So they won't just be one film.
I've got to ask you something, man, because like my reaction in the cinema was actually quite vocal.
Yeah.
And I was like, "What?" People look round. Christopher Walken's in this.
He is. What did you think of him in this movie? Because.
I like Christopher Walken. We all like Christopher Walken. He's great. But I don't really like him in this.
I actually read some people have said it feels like he's not acting at all in this film. And
What?
I think that's kind of true. I mean, it just feels like he's just there getting paid and leaving. Like, there's only one bit where he seems like he's acting, and that's towards the end where he gets like the Baron Vladimir, the big fat bad guy, to explain himself. Like he goes to Dune and makes him explain himself, and he kind of gets a bit agitated by him. And that's the only part in the film where I thought, okay, here's Walken actually working, doing something.
Well, the thing is, when you hire Christopher Walken, you know what you're getting. Like, he's not a bad actor at all. Like, I wouldn't say he's acting badly in this movie. it's Christopher Walken. It's just not right. I feel like he's the wrong choice. Even when he acts well, he's the wrong actor for it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess how old is he now? He's pretty old. I think he doesn't give a shit anymore.
He comes with too much baggage in terms of, like, he's Christopher Walken. Like, you know, you cast him to be himself nowadays. You don't cast him to be actor. You cast him to be Christopher Walken. So I just feel, I feel like he has maybe too much gravitas. Not gravitas. I just think he comes with too much baggage. He's one of these actors that's part of the star system where, you know, these celebrities become bigger than the characters they play. And they are basically doing, like, Michael Caine as well, I guess. And there's a few others. But Christopher Walken, you hire Christopher Walken to do the Christopher Walken voice. The voice doesn't work. It's not his fault. You hired him. This is what he does. You should have knew better, you know.
Yeah, it's the expectations, you mean. You expect him to be like that. And when you don't see him like that, you get disappointed. Like, why was he here?
I still feel he was like that, though. He was just, like, doing it quietly.
Yeah.
He speaks so quietly, at least in the bit that I was awake for. He was, like, so quiet that I barely heard a word, but he still does voice. It's still walking, you know. It's always walking, you know. And it's just like, if anything, I think it takes you out of the world and reminds you it's a film. You know, I think it draws you out of it a bit. I think you should have stuck to someone with a little less. Like Josh Brolin, you would think he is such a big star that might be a problem. But I actually buy Josh Brolin in it. Zendaya is also a huge star at this point, but she definitely works for her character. Although I don't really like either of them. But they're not bad, I suppose. They're not bad. It's just I don't really like them a huge amount in terms of their performance. They don't draw me in. Like, a lot of people are saying that this movie is, like, fucking so good. It's the best movie ever made. And I will say, in terms of cinematography, production design, all of that, this is going to be my pick for the next Oscars that we do.
It's interesting you say that, because I think I've heard some people saying similar things for next Oscars. This could be a contender.
I definitely think visually this is an Oscar-worthy movie. The visuals are fantastic. I really like the visuals. And I do like the idea of riding these, like, tremors-like sandworms. That's cool. That's a fun idea.
Yeah, that was a good point in the film. The whole, like, you say, like, I watched the 84 version, and the way they do it, like, the worm kind of comes out. So in the 84 version with Kyle MacLachlan, whatever his name is, the worm comes out completely to the surface, and then he just latches himself on. But in this version, in Dune 2, they make it more like, it's more interesting to watch. It's more visually interesting to watch, like, how they capture the worm, how he manages to get on top. Because, like, he summons, like, a really big one. And, like, as it passes through the dune that he has to jump on, it just makes this massive hole. And you, like, think, like, if he misses the worm, he's just going to get sucked into a giant hole and basically just die. And, like, and then as the worm is, like, smashing through other dunes, he's still trying to get his grip on the thing. So I kind of liked that, actually. I liked how visually they did that. And it was kind of, like, quite action-y. Because I will say, by the way, the action towards the end, I was expecting more. I think they kind of, like, when the Fremen and everybody rises up against the Emperor and captures his ship and break their way into inside where he is, into, like, the throne room or whatever, it felt a bit too easy. I was expecting more, like, pushback, more crazy shit there. Didn't really happen, actually. But there were other moments. Yeah, a bit too quick. I was expecting more of an epic war, to be honest.
I mean, yeah, I felt the same about the fight with Austin Butler and Charlemagne, that it was super quick.
Yeah, they did try to play with your expectations a bit there, because he stabs Froid Rolf or whatever his name is, stabs him, and they did kind of almost make it look like Paul was going to lose, which I thought was kind of a all right approach, but I knew he was going to die because I've seen the 84 one. But mind you, we got to talk about Austin Butler in this, and also the whole Heineken's whatever, their whole like clan, because
I was going to ask you, what did you think of Austin Butler in this?
I think he's quite good, I guess. I mean, I've only ever seen him really in Elvis. Elvis, he was great. I think it felt at points like he was trying to do an impression of who's the fat guy called again? Who's the actor? Stellan
Stellan
Skarsgård.
Skarsgård,
Yeah, at points I was like, I was thinking, who's talking? Austin Butler or Stellan Skarsgård? Because it feels like he was trying to do an impression of him. His voice was too similar. And the points that kind of annoyed me.
I've heard a few people point out that like his performance is very, very, it's just a very good impression of Stellan
Yeah.
Skarsgård. And it makes sense. And he doesn't really look like he gives a fuck when Stellan Skarsgård gets killed as well.
Yeah, but that's the character. Yeah, he doesn't
Yeah,
care. He's a
he's just
psychopath.
ruthless. I will say he's the best thing in this movie. I really liked him in Elvis as well. But I have to say, I find him as a human being incredibly pretentious, because have you heard him talk?
No.
So what you need to do, you need to go look up an interview when he was like before Elvis, and then look at an interview after, and you're going to go, what a pretentious asshole. You won't be able to help it. Like it, so before Elvis, he's like, yeah, hello, my name is Austin Butler. I mean, he's not, it doesn't sound like that at all. He's American for a start, but he got this like soft little voice, right? And then after Elvis, he's like, yeah, no, I did enjoy playing Elvis. Now I'm going to be in Dune 2. I'm going to get into character for that. We're not going to film it for another couple of years, but I'm going to start getting into the role now, because I like to do my method acting. And you're like, that's not your voice. You know you could just stop doing that if you wanted to. You know you could. Like, it's just so annoying when these actors do that. Like, that annoys me
Sometimes it
when
happens, you know, a one role changes them and they kind of get stuck to that, you know.
I just yeah, look, I that sort of shit really bugs me. It really bugs the hell out of me. So, like, just stop doing the voice. You could if you
Now he's
wanted
going to
to.
be stuck sounding like Stellan Skarsgård in Dune
I mean,
Part 2.
fucking Daniel Day-Lewis didn't walk with a limp for the rest of his life after doing My Left Foot. Do you know what I mean? Like, fuck off.
Yeah, it's quite funny watching Daniel Day-Lewis in things like as himself. Like he's so shy and so quite posh, and it just doesn't seem like he's an actor at all. I think he's just much better at shaking off the character than just like putting on like a costume, you know. Well, maybe some other
Well,
guys like Austin Butler, they can't shake it off immediately. They have to, I don't know.
I heard so one of the YouTubers I watch, he was saying apparently Austin Butler only stayed in character after the cameras were turned off 25% of the time in while doing Dune 2.
That would have been annoying to work with, especially when you're playing a psychopath.
Presumably, when he did Elvis, he just lived life as Elvis for a bit
That's not
without
so
break.
bad.
Go to bed as Elvis, wake up as Elvis, brush your teeth as Elvis. Do you reckon he did that? He had a whole morning routine where he just Elvisify his life. So he'd be like brushing his teeth and he just like moaning like, oh, like while brushing it. Just little things that you know, oh, I'm Elvis, just enjoying being Elvis.
I'm just thinking now, like another thing that annoyed me, and also it was in the same, isn't in the first movie as well. It's just I'm kind of a bit fed up of the bad guys always just being complete psychopaths. Like boring, like they're just violent, but it feels like there's no reason behind the
Well,
violence, and
so
they're just perfectly designed for us to dislike them, and it feels a bit weak, you know, like.
but I mean, look, I'll be honest, I really do like Butler's super psychopath guy. He is cool. He does work.
Okay, but also Stellan Skarsgård is also playing a psychopath, and
He
what's the other
works
actor
too.
called?
He
The guy
works
called,
too.
yeah, but also the guy who played his other nephew, I forgot his name,
But
the wrestler.
I feel like so many of these, they're just allegories for Star Wars characters. Like the Stellan Skarsgård is Jabba the Hutt, and like Austin Butler's basically Boba Fett. You know that you can basically transfer all of these characters into Star Wars characters, and it doesn't really feel that original when you do that.
Yeah, I get what you mean, but I think it's a bit more complicated than that because there's a
Well,
lot of
Of course, I am oversimplifying to be like a bit of a, you know, I'm over analyzing because it's part of the job.
yeah, because I know that I actually did also, I'm going off topic a lot. I watched also this documentary. Have you heard of it? Jodorowsky's Dune. You know, the director, Alejandro Jodorowsky. So,
I know the name.
yeah, I actually didn't know who he was until like very recently. So he's Chilean or like Polish background, which is why his last name's like that. He tried to make Dune in the 70s, and I watched a documentary on it last night. And it's very interesting, man. I've got to tell you about this. Like, it would have been an absolutely crazy movie. Can I tell you the cast that he wanted to put in this film? Because you're going to be amazed.
I mean, something tells me I might have heard something. Didn't I heard something about maybe Salvador Dali being in a Dune movie?
Yeah,
Is that
he was
this?
actually. He was cast as the Emperor in this film.
Interesting.
And
Interesting.
he wanted like $100,000 per hour that he was
How
in the film.
much?
$100,000 for
An
every hour of
hour.
work. Yes. And apparently Jodorowsky managed to work it out so he'd only do 1 hour in the film, like only 1 hour of filming, and then just replace him with like a robot that looked like him, basically. And but that's not it,
Amazing.
man. I gotta tell you the rest of the cast. He was gonna put Mick Jagger as Freud Ruffer, the guy who played Austin Butler, and was played by Sting
Oh.
in the 84 version. Orson Welles was gonna play Baron Vladimir, who's Stellan
What?
Skarsgård's character. Yeah, can you believe it? And he's a very big guy, so you can kind of see it. And like he convinced him into it somehow. It would be crazy. And you'll never guess who is going to play the father, Leto, the father of Paul. David Carradine was cast as like the father of the Paul, which is really crazy. But that's just not it. Like there's
That's
so many other
wild.
crazy shit. So a lot of the design work was done by H.R. Giger, the guy who did the
Yes.
designs. Yeah,
Yes,
for Alien.
I heard that he also did stuff about Dune.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's all
And
coming full circle.
yeah, and a lot of the designs that were used for Dune, for Jodorowsky's Dune, they reused them in Alien. Because like one of the guys who worked on Dune then went over to write Alien, and he got in touch with Giger and got him to do the designs for it. So if it wasn't for this failure of a movie, we probably wouldn't have had Alien.
That's mad.
Pink Floyd were going to do the fucking music. It was really crazy, and the whole idea with it, which I think is quite interesting, the interpretation, because a lot of people talk about how, like, Villeneuve has said himself, like it's hard to basically interpret the books into film because they get really like psychedelic later on, because the whole thing about the spice is that it's a bit psychedelic and it's kind of having an effect on the main character. So the books get weirder and weirder. And so Jodorowsky wanted to
Go on.
make the film like you're on LSD. So you'd have the same feeling. It was really psychedelic and crazy, you know? So it'd be a very different interpretation.
Okay, I'll tell you this. It does annoy me that the whole substance that everyone wants, this spice shit, it's used to be drugs or for space travel.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder. Maybe there's going to be like something like maybe they weren't really traveling in space. They were just really high on drugs.
Maybe they all wake up and they're actually it's actually a sequel. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. They all just wake up, and this is just like the fever dream of Danny DeVito's character.
Yeah, I would watch that. I'd be happy with that.
We just
But
did
there's.
watch it. That's what Dune 3 is going to end with. So
Danny
Danny DeVito
DeVito.
waking up, and like Jack Nicholson's like next to him, and he's all dead. But the chief got out. Happy
Yeah,
days.
happy days. But that's not all. I got some other shit to tell you because it's such a weird documentary. So the film was supposed to be 10 hours, but I think it worked out it was going to be about 14 hours long. And before they even started, the film was really going to go ahead. They had everything they needed, but they spent like $2 million, and then it got cancelled, and it never happened. And yeah, a lot of people are very disappointed. But they say, so apart from Alien, this film also influenced Star Wars because a lot of the sword fighting stuff that they choreographed in this Dune movie, they also like reused in Star Wars. And the producers who made the 84 version, it's kind of unrelated, but they went on to make Flash Gordon, by the way. So a random fact there. And some of the stuff that they made in Jodorowsky's Dune, like the style, was reused in Flash Gordon. So Flash Gordon might give you a kind of idea of what it might have looked like.
I think I'd enjoy that more than the other two, than the Lynch one or the new one.
Yeah, it would be. It's not really like. It kind of wasn't completely based on the book because actually he didn't want to read the book at the first. He just heard the story and everyone likes it, so he wanted to make a movie. And then he read the book, but he didn't want to do it completely like Frank Herbert's way. And it's a very awkward moment in the documentary where he's like saying like, if you want to get the bride, you don't be nice to the bride. You have to rape the bride. And here I am, I was raping Frank Herbert. Like, he's like saying how he was raping the author of the book to make the film that he wanted, basically. And yeah, bit of odd choice of word in there, but yeah.
Very odd choice of wording, Craig.
Anyway, that was a massive tangent that I had to explain to you because that was some
No,
crazy shit.
it's interesting, and you know what? It's something I'd be very, very keen to watch. You know, like a 10-hour version that's, you know, psychedelic and wild and having that sounds like a really interesting cast. Mick Jagger, Salvador Dali, and Orson Welles. Just yeah, I'm pretty sold on that. I would watch this Dune film.
Yeah.
I had heard that Dali was involved with the Dune project,
He
and like
sounds really difficult to work with,
well,
from what I
God, you.
heard.
It sounds like a difficult person just to be in the same vicinity of. Well, I was going to say, do you know what I find interesting? Is all I can see on the internet is everyone loves this movie. And me and you, we've sat here, we're not really talking about how amazing it is.
mean, I still liked it. I don't want to give the wrong impression that I hate this film because I do
No,
like it.
neither do I. That's why I brought it up, because I do like it. I just think it's right now very overrated.
Yeah, it's overrated. It reminds me a little bit of when we were talking about Oppenheimer. Like, it's very well shot and it's really overly hyped. It's in a big Hollywood film.
Beautiful,
And
looks beautiful.
yeah, but like, I have a feeling that if this film gets like nominated like a ton of Oscars like Oppenheimer did, I'm just gonna hate it even more. And it's gonna be like a repeat of this year's.
Do you think this is going to get nominated for best film?
Ooh, I have to see what comes out.
That would annoy me. That would annoy me if it got nominated for best film. Oh, you know
I
what
wouldn't
now?
mind if it got cinematography. I wouldn't mind giving it
Yeah,
that. That's cool.
cinematography, score, I actually expect it to be nominated for that. But if it does get nominated for best film, that would be quite irritating, I think. But now that I've said it, I actually do foresee it happening. Now that I've said it.
It's early to say though, because I'm not really sure what else will come out this year. I mean, it could be a lot of shit that could put this in the dust, but at the same time, this is a very big movie. So,
Do we know, is there anything hyped that's coming out this year? I haven't really had a look.
what I'll see. What films coming out in 2024?
Is Nolan going to make anything?
I have no idea.
Probably not. Needs to
There may...
take time off after his Oscar win.
Yeah, I don't think he will. There's going to be the second Joker movie. There is another Venom movie, but I don't think that's going to make anything. There's Deadpool and Wolverine, but again, I don't think that's going to be amazing.
They're doing another Venom movie.
Yeah, I haven't
Wait,
watched any of them.
it's coming out this year, you mean?
It's called Venom, The Last Dance. And I can see it's got Tom Hardy in it again.
Okay, I guess. To be
How many
fair,
Venom?
the Deadpool Wolverine does look fucking awesome. It does look really good.
Yeah, but do you think it's going to get Oscars? I don't think so.
Maybe,
One
maybe,
film.
because it's going to be Disney. And you've got to remember, Disney, they make sure they get nominations.
Yeah, the other so I see they're gonna remake The Crow. There's gonna be
Oh,
Fury.
yeah, I've seen the trailer. It looks good. But
Yeah.
they've got not Stellan Skarsgård, his son, the one who played Pennywise.
The creepy looking one.
Yeah. But also kind of handsome for it.
All his sons look really different. All three of them. They don't look like they're from the same family.
I don't know his first name, but he's Skarsgård, one of the Skarsgårds.
Yeah.
He's playing the crow. And if you look at, like, I saw a lot of people getting all angry online because he's got like face tattoos and body tattoos. So people are sort of comparing him to the Jared Leto Joker that was obviously dreadful. But I saw the trailer and I actually thought the trailer looked all right.
Yeah,
But
to be honest.
it is very remin like his look is very reminiscent of Jared Leto's Joker, which is a concern. But the movie the trailer looks all right, I think.
Oh shit! This year's gonna be a new Lord of the Rings movie. I
What?
hope, yeah, there's gonna be a new one. I heard about this, but I completely forgot about it. I don't know what I think. I really hope they don't fuck it up. It's got Brian Cox in it. Miranda Otto is in it. I don't know if I recognize anyone else. But yeah, man, to be honest, I can't really guess if any of these movies will be good because I can just see like a poster. That said, I really wouldn't be surprised if Dune 2 gets some nominations. I really
I
hope it
think it
doesn't dominate like Oppenheimer did.
will. It might well do. This is the thing. I think this is the sort of thing that the Oscars like, because like the people like it. we think it's a slight bit overrated, but like the people do like this in the same way that they liked Oppenheimer and the same way they like Barbie. Although this is clearly distinctly better than Barbie.
What about Oppenheimer? Do you think this is better than Oppenheimer or worse?
My personal preference would be this. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is more interesting, actually.
But Oppenheimer was... This is the thing. I still like this. I still like Oppenheimer, but I think they were wildly overrated. And I do think Oppenheimer storming the Oscars, you know, I didn't think it was bad. I just didn't think it deserved to win that much.
Yeah, but you forget that our cinematic tastes are broader than most people. And if the Oscars want to give awards to people that most people like, they probably haven't seen a lot of this shit that is also nominated.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, like, at the end of the day, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I'm not going to sit here and say that Oppenheimer is a bad film. It's not. It's just not my preference. And maybe it's just a personal thing that, I mean, we both didn't like Oppenheimer as much as everyone else, but it could just be an us thing. I think there might be a little bit of like just sucking up to Christopher Nolan because he is amazing. And if I met him, I would suck up to him. And I think everyone is just sucking up to him so much that he gets an Oscar. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But do you think
he deserves an Oscar? I just don't think it was for Oppenheimer. I think he was the wrong choice to direct Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And although I wouldn't say that about Denis Villeneuve, however to pronounce his name. I think he's really, I think he's a great director for Dune. I think he's got a great vision. I think it looks fantastic. I think the visuals are great. I just wish it wasn't so fucking boring. Right, the first one's really fucking boring. Like, I wasn't really too pumped to watch Dune 2 because I didn't really love Dune 1. I was like, it looks great. But I find it irritating I find Timothy Chalamet irritating. Not his fault, to be fair. But I also found the plot to be so setting up for the sequel that I just found it boring and dull. But I still like the visuals. The sequel, you get a lot more. I slept through a lot more of that, a lot more. But it's still...
Literally.
I literally did, and I feel bad about it because it sounds like I've missed a lot of the best bits. But and I didn't fall asleep because it was boring, in all fairness. I fell asleep because I was intoxicated. So there is a difference. But it's still, like, the visuals are fantastic. It's not boring. Even though I fell asleep, it's not boring. I definitely didn't find it boring. And I thought the performances were more... fun. I really liked Austin Butler. I really liked Stellan Skarsgård. Christopher Walken, despite me thinking he was like miscast, it's always nice to see him in stuff. Florence Pugh's in it, looking great as ever. But she's not in it much. She's Christopher Walken's daughter.
Yeah.
Now, she's not in it much, but she's obviously going to become a big player for the sequel.
I think so too.
Oh, apparently, I heard this. Apparently, the next one is not going to be called Dune Part 3. It'll be called Dune Messiah.
Well, from what I understand, Dune 1 and 2 are the same book, and Dune Messiah is another book. So maybe that's why. 1, 2, and then Messiah.
How many Dune books are there?
I don't know, but I've a few. Should I Google it to find out?
Yeah, let's find out. Maybe we should read them.
There are 28.
What?
Yeah.
What? No wonder people don't like this film. No wonder people don't like Dune getting messed around with. If there's that much lore, if there's that much story, then yeah. I can see how you could piss people off.
The books were published between 1942 and 1993. But I'm wondering if some of those later ones probably were like post Frank Herbert.
He was basically putting out a book every 2 years.
Something like that, yeah. But I think he died in 1980 something. So I think some of these were probably like unfinished books that they kind of like put together, or probably leftover pieces of his work, you know. So can't say. Although I see that actually there's two other authors. I see there's another guy called Brian Herbert, who might be his son. Another guy called Kevin J. Anderson. So maybe some guys like filled in the gaps or continued the franchise. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I suppose they did that with Eyes Wide Shut, didn't they? When Kubrick died when he was making that. And they just, the rumor is that Spielberg finished it.
Yeah. Would be interesting to know. But yeah, so I don't know, man. How would you rate this movie? I mean, I did enjoy it. I liked the action when there was action. I think I appreciated kind of like the build-up of him becoming a leader a bit. I guess maybe you might have missed some of that, but I found that there were too many names for his character, which got a bit annoying.
I'll say this. I don't remember what anyone is called. If I really wrap my brain, there's someone called like Fremen or some bollocks. I don't remember.
Fremen are the people.
Yeah, whoever. Who are they? I don't know who they are. They're the desert people. Right. So then the Harkonnen are the people with no eyebrows.
Yeah. Again, like they're just purposely made to look as ugly and evil as possible. So we just know clearly that they're the bad guys and they can't be redeemed.
So who are the people that Christopher Walken is king of?
He's the emperor of the whole universe. And he's from a different planet. They explain it in the 1984 version. I can't remember the name. But they don't explain it at all, actually, in part one and two from Denis Villeneuve. So you don't know, actually, what planet. Okay. You just know he's the emperor of the universe from somewhere else.
So again, he's like fucking the Emperor from Star Wars. Do you see what I mean? It's all Star Wars.
Yeah, but this came before Star Wars, I think. I don't know. I can't tell you.
But it's like, it's so fucking Star Wars. It's just annoying. That's why I don't like Star Wars as well.
But mind you, I think this is better made than Star Wars. And I think it's a bit smarter and doesn't have so many issues.
I mean, do you like this better than Star Wars?
You know what I was thinking, actually? I would rather wait until I've seen the entire three films. I think kind of judge it on the ending of the third from beginning to end. Because I'm not sure yet. I don't want to say I like it too much yet.
I mean, I'll tell you this. I think I like the movie Star Wars better than this. But I would much rather read all of the Dune books than do all of the Star Wars spin-off stuff. I'd rather go down a Dune rabbit hole than a Star Wars rabbit hole. I think I do think the Dune universe is more interesting.
Yeah, I'm quite curious to find out more about it. I'm maybe in the third film. Because it's kind of suggesting now that Paul will be going against like the other houses from the other planets, that maybe we'll see some more planets, some more different cultures, and that might be quite good. Might even be interesting.
You see, that's another thing. That's another thing that annoys me, and it's also present in Star Wars, is you have all of these people with like wacky fucking names, like Harkonnen or fucking
Duncan
Darth
Idaho.
Vader, and then you got your main character is going to be someone called fucking Luke or Paul. And it's like, why do they get normal names and everyone else has a cool name? Obviously, Paul Atreides is a cool name. But why is it Paul Atreides? Can't he be like Schlafblack Atreides? I don't know.
Are you saying that you don't like names like Duncan Idaho?
No,
Jason
I don't.
Momoa?
No. If you are setting it in a universe that's so far into the future that people have wacky names like Ophiliac, I don't know, but
If you're going so far into the future that people have wacky names like that, then why have we got Lukes and Pauls? Everyone should have a wacky name. And this is my problem with Star Wars, is why do we have some characters called Luke and Leia and some characters called Darth Vader or fucking Han Solo, Lando Calrissian? Like, they're cool names. So why can't everyone just get a cool name? Like, why do you have to have normal, boring names that for the universe that you've built would have been ancient names?
Yeah, I get you. But I think it's just like to let people easily into the universe. Otherwise, it's just too weird.
I think it's weird to have a character called Paul at the center
of I get you.
Everyone being called wacky things. Why is your main character Paul? That's dumb to me. I think is more world bending and breaking than if you just give him a fucking wacky name. Schlafblark. I like that. Why not? Schlafblark Atreides. I'm calling him Schlafblark from now on.
All right then, Schlafblark.
It's an anagram of Charlemagne.
Is it? Okay, no, that's great then.
Of course it isn't.
Do you want to find out what... I just saw it back, so I didn't mean to. What do you think Dune 2 is rated on IMDb?
I know for a fact. I saw it online. I don't know the actual rating right now, but I know when it first came out, it became the highest rated IMDb movie on IMDb. So surpassing... with what I would assume be The Godfather Part 2 at number one. I believe if memory serves me, that was a 9.2 when we did it for our first episode of the podcast. So it must have surpassed 9.2, but obviously more people have watched it, so maybe the ratings come down. But it's got to be, I'm going to go with a 9.
A 9. All right.
Bang on 9.
It's been rated by 259,000 people.
That's not a huge amount. That's a minority.
Quarter of
a million people. We got 7 billion here.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, that it's, I think it slipped down one spot, actually. But it's only been a month since it's been out. It's rated 8.8 out of 10.
You see, that's come down.
Yeah.
Because initially it was the highest rated IMDb movie. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that. When I saw the news, I was like, that's wild that it's become, that people like it more, like so much that it's become higher rated than The Godfather, which is insane.
You want to know what the highest rated thing is? Most popular movie out of the top 100 on IMDb.
Well, most popular right now, I would say, is Dune 2.
No, it's the second. Actually, the most popular thing at the minute is actually Poor Things. Interesting.
Really?
It
has to be said, I have told everyone that I know to go and watch Poor Things.
It's a great movie.
They have, and they aren't regretting it. Although it's not what they expect. They got a lot more than they expected.
Yeah, I think I watched it not knowing really anything about it.
Yeah.
And I think that was the best way to watch it, actually, because it's just really nuts.
This is it. I don't spoil it for anyone. If people really don't know anything about it, all they know is Emma Stone's in it and she won an Oscar, I don't tell them anymore. I just go, just watch it and let yourself just get blown away. But a lot of people have come back to me and went, yeah, you gave me way more movie than I thought I was getting.
Yeah.
They were all quite happy with what they got. Some of them are uncomfortable, but overall positive reception.
Yeah, I think even if it makes you uncomfortable, you should at least watch it. It's worth seeing. But what would you give it, though?
Those of you who don't know anything about Poor Things, I highly recommend you watch it with your parents.
Yes. I agree. I really agree. Dune Part 2 is 8.8 currently out of 10. Okay. What would you give it, realistically?
So I think it's hard to give it a rating without giving the first one a rating as well, because I do feel that they are both one film that's been cut in half.
Well, it's one book that's been cut in half. So yeah, that makes
Yeah,
sense, yeah.
but it does feel that way, because like the first one doesn't feel like a complete film. And now after watching the second one, even though I missed a lot of it, I feel like we have seen a full story now. So it's now fair to judge it. Maybe I need to watch them both back to back again, like proper back to back, one after another, no break, and then judge it as one film. But I think it best that I judge it as two films right now.
Well, you know what I'll
Now,
also mention as well, like the 1984 version that Lynch made is basically just both of these movies together. Like I noticed like the 1984 version, the first hour of that film is just a part one of Dune that Villeneuve made. So I think really Lynch just did part one, just the first book. But here the first book has been split into two almost 3 hour movies, you know?
Yeah. How much does the 84 version get on IMDb before I make my rating?
Let me find out. I got Dune
Because
part. You want
I
to know
don't
part one
really.
as well?
Yeah, go on, let's hear part one.
So Dune part one, out of 822,000 ratings on IMDb, is 8 out of 10. So it's rated a bit lower with
Eight.
more reviews. But I bet you probably this 8.8 for Dune part two is probably going to go a bit lower as more people see it, to be honest. But maybe
I
it
mean,
could maintain it over Dune part one.
I can already tell you, I feel like that's overrating them, and my rating will be lower than both.
Yeah, I think so too. Do you want to know the 1984 version?
Because, well, this is the thing, I don't remember a huge amount of the David Lynch one, but the bits I remember, like I remember some really janky CG when they, when Timothée Chalamet and Josh Brolin are having that fight and they have that special
Oh, yeah.
shield. Well, when the David Lynch one is so like, it's like, it looks like Tron. Like, I like the effects, but they really don't look cool. Like, they look cool, they just don't look as, they don't look good. And they lean into the fact that it doesn't look good. So
Yeah.
it's cool for different reasons. Whereas the new one, it looks good, but it's not, it doesn't look as interesting. If that makes
Yeah.
sense. So
It's
I think I prefer the effects from the Lynch one, as mad as that sounds.
there are some very interesting effects. There's some stuff that's aged quite badly, but
Yeah.
yeah.
It's the
I'll tell you.
80s, you can forgive them. If you can forgive Star Wars, you can forgive Dune.
Yeah, certainly. So you want to know how much you got rated, Lynch's version?
I mean, from what I can remember, I'd give it probably like a 7, but
Seven.
I don't remember it well, so I'd need to watch it again. Maybe we'll do an episode of the original, like the 84 Dune at some point
Yeah.
as well.
They did. It's 6.3 out of 10.
Yeah, that sounds about right, because I think I just overrated it just because it's a David Lynch film. I don't
Yeah,
remember it. I'm going to agree with IMDb then, 6.3.
I also think that's probably a fair. I wouldn't give it a 5. That feels harsh, but a 6 for
No.
sure. I mean, it's teetering on being quite good. It's a problematic film. It's got some areas that are not quite right that need to be fixed.
And let's be honest, David Lynch is not the right person to make a Dune film.
No.
Because it, the whole movie of the 84 Dune, you're wanting it to become more of a David Lynch film and less of a Dune movie. But obviously, the production company wants it to be more of a Dune movie and less of a Lynch movie. They want it to be linear, they want it to make sense, but that's not really David Lynch's bag.
Yeah, I'll tell you this as well. So when the 1984 version came out, Jodorowsky, he really didn't want to see it. He was really defeated after his film was rejected, like it got cancelled. But his son, who was going to play Paul, by the way, in the film, convinced him to go and see it. So they went to the theater and he was really happy that it was shit. He was really happy. Oh, they fucked it. I'm happy that they fucked it. But he didn't think it was Lynch's fault, because actually he likes Lynch. and he thought if anyone was going to do it apart from him, Lynch would do it well. But it messed up, and so he blames the producers. He thinks the producers really were the ones who got in the way of making Dune, Lynch's Dune, into a really good film. So
yeah, I could buy that.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, I think he also doesn't really like producers and the money guys to get in the way. He seems very against that kind of shit. He wants you to make art. And I think Lynch is also an artist, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, the money guys, they want to make money. They don't see the potential. They just see the numbers, you know, unfortunately.
Well, you know, this is the nature of Hollywood. I think I'm ready to give my rating after listening to that. I think I'm settled. Yeah, I think I'm ready.
What would you give Dune Part 2?
I'll give Dune Part 1 6.5.
Okay, I can buy that, yeah. I think probably I'll give it something similar, to be honest. I'm agreeing with you because, like, I know we said it a few times already on this episode, but it's just a long trailer, isn't it, for future films? And I mean, there's some interesting stuff in it. I like how it's done. I don't like, by the way, the helicopters are stupid. I don't like them. I think they're really dumb. These like bug things, like you already have a helicopter. It's more practical than this fucking thing. Never mind.
I don't even think the physics of that are even possible. So
it just doesn't make sense. Like to have, it's just so like, you need so much space to your side. You could just fucking kill someone just flying that thing. A helicopter, you know, it's got its blades above it. It takes less space. It's more practical. You can land it more easily. Why reinvent the wheel? You know, it doesn't make sense to me. So yeah, there are some things about, I mean, I still like Part 1. I wouldn't mind watching it again. I wouldn't fight anybody about it. I'm not going to trash talk it, although I have maybe a little bit here and there. But like, it's not something that's going to grab me to watch it again. You know, so I think probably I agree. 6.5 is fair.
I do think my rating might change if I watch them both back to back and try and view them as one movie, one story, and give it a rating as one piece of art. And I think that's probably the fairest thing to do. That's clearly what they want. Like, that's clearly what they envisioned. Like, they definitely envisioned that the first one is setting up the second one. It's all you need. You can't have two without one. And you certainly can't have one without two. So, yeah, I think maybe I should rewatch them both back to back, no breaks, and try and give it an overarching review. But my Dune 2, I think, is better, because I think some of the problem I had with Dune 1 was I was like, well, you know, this is sort of going nowhere. But then obviously in Dune 2, it does. So I'd say Dune 2 is better, more satisfying. It's more interesting lore. I'm going to give it like a 7.4.
I'm trying maybe, not to give.
Maybe if I hadn't felt asleep, it would be higher or lower. You never know.
I'm going to give it a flat 7, I think.
Flat 7?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
I don't think it's at the point where I give it like 7.5 or anything.
But you know what? I still maintain it is entirely possible that me and you are underrating these movies, especially when so many people disagree with that. So it is possible we're underrating them, but I just, yeah. Maybe they all need to come out and then I can reserve my judgment until then. Maybe we have to wait for Dune Messiah.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking. I want to see what it builds up to in the third film to really summarize what I think about it. Maybe when the third one comes out, I'm going to rewatch 1 and 2 and then watch the third just to have everything there, just like all put together and to really give it a good solid rating that I think makes sense, you know?
Yeah, because it still doesn't feel complete. It still doesn't feel like this is the end. And I just want to reserve my judgment for it. And, you know, I want to see everything and then I'll let you know.
I think this is now the way that Hollywood movies are going to be made, aren't they? Like, everything is going to be a franchise if it's like this, and they're going to have this approach for everything new. I think this is the new Hollywood approach to making a book series. You know, I think I heard they're going to remake Harry Potter, right? So if they do that, probably it will have something similar. Maybe, I don't know. Be curious.
Have you seen much else from this director?
No, but I know he's very big. I think he's made a lot of big Hollywood stuff.
Well, I know that he directed Prisoners, which I've seen, and I really like Prisoners is great. But I don't actually know what else he's done. Can we look him up?
So I can see that he did the Blade Runner, the recent one.
He did what?
Blade Runner.
Oh, he did the new Blade Runner. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I suppose that makes sense that he got this off the back of that.
It feels similar, doesn't it? There's something about it that feels quite similar. He's only done 9 films, by the way. He also did Sicario, which is rated quite highly. I haven't seen it.
I like Sicario, yeah. Oh, that's him, is it?
Actually, everything, the lowest rated thing that he's done is rated 6.9, and that was his first film. Everything else is a 7 and up. So he's quite well respected. People quite like his stuff.
Oh, watch this space. He's still got a lot of filmmaking to do.
Yeah, I think probably we'll see a lot more of him. A lot more.
All right, well, I mean, I think we've got a decent little summary of Dune there. I'm surprised that we both... I thought you were going to really like it, and I was going to have to basically listen to how much you enjoyed it while I didn't. I did enjoy it. I thought it was good. It's just I do think it's overrated, and I think that's making me more judgmental of it, and maybe that's why I'm so harsh on Timothée Chalamet and Zendaya. I just don't really buy them in the roles. I don't see him as a leader. And I think her face at the end where she gets all grumpy because he decides he's going to marry Florence Pugh in the third film, her little grumpy face doesn't look all that grumpy to me.
I get you. I did like how she wasn't a believer. Like, not, there's like fractions within the Fremen. Some people believe, some people don't, which I thought was kind of interesting about like religion and this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I like that, actually. I did really like all the, like, how these different people were represented, and they didn't oversaturate you with explaining fucking every different species in the world. They just let them be and let them speak for themselves. And yeah, I quite like that.
Yeah.
I like a lot of the world building. I just, you know, speed up already, you know, get me to the fighting.
Yeah, I want to see more about this kind of like thing about religion and the Messiah and this kind of like Messiah complex kind of stuff. I want more of this. I want more of an in-depth kind of argument here, because I think that's what's really strong in the books, and I want to have that in the film too.
Yeah, it's easily the most interesting aspect of the whole thing. So yeah, I'm well down for that.
And
I'm well up for Dune 3. Like, I'm looking forward to Dune 3. As much as I've trash talked it, I'm proper looking forward to Dune 3 now.
And I also want to see more psychedelic crazy shit, because that's also supposed to be in the book. So I want to see more, because I feel that the visuals, they're very good in this film, but they're very grounded. There's something you can believe seeing. I want to see some insane weird shit in the third one. I want it to blow my mind with some visual shit that I'm not supposed to expect from this psychedelic material from Spice. You know, I need to see that. Otherwise, I'll be a bit disappointed, I think.
Give us all that allspice, mate.
Yeah, something spicy to watch.
Dune 3, spicy meatballs.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for coming out. We are Film Shrapnel. Go check us out on all the social media platforms at Film Shrapnel. We're also on YouTube. We're on TikTok. Go follow us there, because we're going to be putting videos out very soon. Craig, anything you want to say to the lovely listeners?
No, not really. I mean, yeah, pretty much what Tobias said. Keep listening to us. Follow us wherever you can. Hold on for more content coming soon. I don't know what we're doing next after this one. I think I say that almost every episode. But you will know soon, eventually.
Yeah, probably you'll know soon.
Yeah, probably we'll do like a month of something. We'll see. Maybe Jodorowsky films, because his films are very weird looking. I think we should definitely check them out.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see. We'll decide something.
Go follow us on Twitter. We'll put it all out there. You know, if you want to get the heads up, you want to get the down low early, go follow us over there. And yeah, and I think that's about it, guys. Dune, it was fun, even though I fell asleep.
Yeah, good film, but there is space for improvement, I guess.
I still like the scope of it all, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I feel like I need to watch it again.
Maybe we do, yeah, maybe we do.
I missed a good hour of it. That's not good. Well, you good go 40, I think maybe 40 minutes.
A 40-minute nap in a movie, man. That's insane. Take care, man.
Guys. Until next time. Everyone.
Take care. Bye. Doom Shrapnel.